Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, hi, hello. How are ya?
I'm doing splendid. How are you? I know you weren't asking me, but I'm going to answer anyway.
I'm doing it. Doing it.
The girls are doing it.
The girls are doing it. The girls are girling. What are the girls doing?
It.
What's it?
Working hard. Working 9 to 5.
Dead bit. Make a living. Neither of us work 9 to 5.
I might today. No, I started at 8, so never mind.
I
might be done early though today because I started early and then I did a lot of the stuff that I was supposed to do today yesterday. So,
you know, we've been on, I shouldn't say we, because you've been so kind to accommodate my lack of brain cells, but there's so few left. They're fighting to the death.
Maybe your bing bong needs to die.
Bitch, my bing bong died a long fucking time ago. Why do you think I took it so personally when you didn't like bing bong? I'm without my bing bong. I think that maybe we should start recording earlier because getting more sunlight, you know, they're right about sunlight helping depression. I'm like, oh, wow, look at this. The sun is shining. And I do whatever some lyric about sun shining. Like, I'm feeling it.
But that means you got to start prepping the night before.
Well, you know, this was helpful because we get into why we had to push recording on tomorrow in our See You Next Tuesday episode. But I did all the prep before. And so it was like, look, I prepped the night before and then I didn't end up recording that day. So then I got to even add more additional stuff.
Right. So we got to start prepping the night before, getting up early, and then just getting it over with.
Yeah. We just want to get this podcast over with.
We're also tightening up how we record too.
Yep.
Because I misread a text message. So, but it's good for us.
I just want the record to state that you have been wrong. And you will all hear this.
I wasn't wrong, wrong.
No, you literally said, well, you were the one. And I went, hold the fuck up. I was not the one who suggested we record at 9 a.m.
I think something happened because sometimes my texts do not come all the way through on my computer if I'm checking. Like, my phone will be 2 texts ahead. And I think something happened where I missed something. And it didn't come through on my computer.
Melissa, Don't make me fact check this. I swear to God, they're like in the same message.
I know they're in the same message, but I'm just saying it's on my computer. It gets delayed what gets received.
Okay, well, we need to explain this to the people. Okay. So Melissa was like, you know, you were the one who wanted to record. Like, we've had to push yesterday's recording. So, well, you were the one who wanted to record 9 a.m. the very next day. And I was like, literally, no. Like, you told me what days worked for you. And the exact text message is, if you want to do tomorrow, we can. We just have to start early and not record long episodes. I have to be done by 2:30. That's one text message. Then a separate text message right after she says, or Thursday, I need to be done by 4. And I said, well, we're going to skip the part of me saying, let me try and shit and see if I feel better. I said, let's push it tomorrow or Thursday. Either works for me. That's one fucking text message. And you respond, okay, tomorrow at 9?
Whatever. Things happen.
You'll hear on Friday.
Things happen.
The biggest vindication of my life. Actually, that's really not true. I don't want to set my standards so low.
Because that's really low.
No, that's really fucking low. Anyways, we are Megan and Melissa, and we are here to bring you a wonderful podcast episode. And if you're new here, this is Don't Blame Me, where we give wonderful, amazing, life-changing advice, because beyond being gorgeous and funny and hilarious and stunning and nepo babies, mm-hmm. we suffer from nepophilia. We also give the best advice. Oprah has us on speed dial.
Yeah.
We consult with world leaders on how they should send cute text messages. we were not involved in the text messaging of Jeff Bezos and his mistress. That is like,
if they would have, then we would have just went straight to his ex-wife anyway. So
without a doubt, we're here to help. We're here to stir the pot. Mm-hmm. And we're here to comment on your lives. And you can call us to be featured on episode. Let us know what's going on in your life. And we'll give advice by leaving a voicemail at 310-694-0976. International listeners, you can send us an audio message at meganpodcast@gmail.com. You do have some requirements. You have to be 18 or over. Have your parents' permission. Let us know your ages. We keep it all anonymous, but if you'd like to let us know your pronouns and anyone else involved in the situation you're going to tell us about, please do. You can create fake names, something that's easy for us to kind of track as a story, as a narrative, so we can give the best advice. And we can also give the best advice when we have the best, most like concise, specific information. So we do ask that you write it down and then read it out loud a couple times. Make sure it's under 3 minutes. Time yourself and make sure you have all of that good info in there. You can cut out the bulk, whatever, but keeping us like examples. If you're talking about like a toxic roommate situation, like, oh my God, she does all this like absolutely asinine shit. We want to know.
Specifically.
Like, we love specifics. We started a podcast talking about other people's gossip. Like, do not leave us hanging.
But we also can't give good advice if we don't know specifics, because it could be something as, oh my gosh, she always leaves her hair tie on the kitchen sink. Or, oh my gosh, she always uses the neti pot in the kitchen. Two different things.
Oh my God. Two very different things and very different emotional reactions we would have.
Both of these are things that my old roommate did.
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. So yeah, call us, send us your voice memos, and you could hear yourself and you can hear us give you advice. But if you are sensitive, let us know. We take it into account. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're also on Patreon if you want to watch the video version. So I do have to say that we give wonderful facial reactions all the time. Great face shots.
Good face.
But specifically listening to the calls, you might see yourself mm-hmm. in our reactions. Mm-hmm. And we also do live streams there twice a month. It is very affordable. You can literally have a Patreon, like access to like all of the additional content from like the videos for both of our podcasts, as well as live streams. Like it's not expensive. Like you could have the full package, the full Brazilian mm-hmm. for under $10.
The full Monty.
Who's Monty, by the way?
You ever see the movie?
Monty Python?
No, it's a movie called The Full Monty.
Oh, so what came first? The Monty Python or the Full Monty?
Monty Python.
Mm. Anyways.
Let's get into the show.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I, 22, they, them, and calling about my 1 year and 9 month relationship with my boyfriend, 23, he, him. Ever since we started dating, I have had issues with him saying little white lies as he thinks it would be better for me to hear than the truth. This includes him lying about talking to one of his female friends. I always felt iffy about because he told me that they slept together about a year before we started dating. It was never weird, it just hurt that he lied to me and it always made me feel suspicious. Another thing he lied about was when we just started dating, he told me he didn't smoke after I said it was one of my big deal breakers I later found out that he does vape. I decided to look past it because I still love him, but it did hurt. Now, the main reason I'm calling is because 2 hours ago, just after we signed our lease, I found out that he lied to me 10 times about emailing places that we were looking for to rent together, as I was in another state and he said he would handle it. He didn't get responses for weeks, apparently, after he said he emailed so many places. And within 1 week of me emailing a few places, I had booked an inspection for him and I found our apartment. So I found this really suspicious. Today, when we were talking about trust, as this has been an issue, while he said, fine, I'll come clean, I actually didn't email. I was so hurt by this. I asked him about this so many times and he lied straight to my face. I always offered to help and he said, no, it's fine. He could do it, as it was easier as he was still living in the city. I was also stressed about us finding a place as we live in a really expensive city and I don't have a place to live when I move back. And so I was always really stressed. He also didn't come clean until I asked to look through his emails, as I found this really weird and I thought he was telling the truth, but I just wanted to assure myself so I didn't think he was lying all the time. Now, all these white lies are usually to save face, but they're still really helpful because he keeps lying. And now I'm not sure if I should snoop, as when I asked to check his email is only when he decided to come clean. We did talk about this and he said it was because he has to do this with his mom to save face and stop an argument. I said maybe he should go to therapy about it, but he said no, it should be fine when he moves out with me. I am just not sure what to do and I'm asking for advice. I don't want to break up with him as we just signed our lease and I can't really afford to live there just on myself, and I moved with him as it was my only option. I'm just not sure what to do as I've raised this with him many times since we started dating and it doesn't seem to get better, and I just don't know if he's lying about anything else or if I can even fix this and if I should just leave in the end because it doesn't seem to be getting better. But I still love him so much, so I want to stay with him forever. Please be really nice, as I'm still really upset by this and I am quite sensitive. Thank you guys. Love you so much. Bye.
What's your definition of a white lie?
Not this.
No. Nothing that you listed was a white lie.
I was waiting for the white lie to come, but I was like, these are skyscrapers.
Yeah, these are all lies. Him talking to his friend and then saying they slept together. And I didn't understand which part was the lie. Does he not? No.
They had feelings about their boyfriend being friends with this girl who they had previously slept together. Mm-hmm. So the caller, they knew that they'd previously slept together, and then he lied about them talking and hanging out after that.
That's not a white lie.
No.
And then the smoking thing, not a white lie, especially when you said that that's a deal breaker to you. That is not a white lie.
That's like manipulative.
Calling, not saying that you're calling places to move. That is not, none of these are white lies.
No. And like, here's the thing. Like, this is lying to save face is like very, very common. And I'm not going to say that like your relationship can't get through that, but at what cost? Because you have to think that like you're not living together yet, you just signed a lease, and it's like, okay, so what if he tells you a white lie about
like an actual white lie of his
I'm saying like a white, quote-unquote, a white lie about, oh yeah, I turned the oven off before I left the house,
right?
Or something that like now you're really financially and like spatially
or
tied together.
I paid rent.
Yeah. So that to me, I'm like, these are not white lies, but you can't force him to change. The fact that he doesn't think that therapy will help to me means that he actually doesn't think this is a problem. And again, white lies to save face is something that happens with people who grew up in families where either they were the golden child and everything was like, they could do no wrong. And so if they ever did anything that they felt was wrong, they couldn't own up to it. Or they were always scrutinized. And so it was like, I have to cover my own ass and do all of that. It's a really, really fucking common coping mechanism that goes into adulthood. But coping mechanisms aren't necessarily, the ones we have since childhood aren't necessarily healthy, nor do they serve us long term. And the only way that we can evolve and grow and change is we have to personally recognize that our own coping mechanisms are no longer serving us and they're hurting more than they're helping. But if he doesn't think that and he thinks it'll just solve on its own when he moves out, that to me is like more of a red flag. And I think if he hadn't said that, my advice, if you can back out of this lease together now, like within a window.
Before you move in.
And I would look and see what the window is of that. It's not just as soon as you sign the lease, you have to pay to break it. Like, there's contingency plans, like there's fail safes and all of that. Like, I would do that first, because my whole thing is like, I'm not going to commit on a concept of future you. I'm going to commit on current you. And I'm not, it's not like I'm going to break up with, if you don't want to break up, like I, it's not, if it, me in this position, if I'm being you and I'm saying that I don't want to break up with you, that's fine. But I need to protect my assets and myself. And then I need to make sure that what you're saying you're going to be, you're going to be. And that's when things can move forward. And like those life choices can move forward with this, because yeah, it's not a pleasant experience to deal with that. And the way that you deal with something like this, it's like, it's making sure that the person knows that the truth is more valuable to you than telling the truth is more valuable than what the truth is. So it's like, you can't really be upset when, if you don't like what the truth is in the situation and the circumstance, because it's the worry of, you know, disappointing or failing people or whatever. And that's, again, that's like a process that shouldn't have to be done individually solely in a relationship. It should be like the figuring out the cause and effect, and like, oh, if you fuck up at work, you can't just like lie and then you get caught in the lie. You can't teach someone that lesson yourself. But if you are taking on that accountability to do that and provide essentially free therapy for him, you do have to sacrifice a lot of your own feelings on it. So like, you find out that he's lying about something, or like he tells you something that is really fucked up or like hurts you or whatever, you can't be hurt. You have to be happy that he told you the truth. And that's a reason why significant others aren't your therapist, because it's a really impossible position to put you in, especially as a roommate. Like if he fucks up something and like tells you the truth about it and it involves your compromise and it's your living situation, and in order to quote unquote teach him this lesson and positive reinforcement, which is like the only, like the way that it would work, you then can't be upset. And that's sacrificing so, so fucking much of yourself for someone who doesn't really see it as a problem. Like,
I know you said that you're sensitive, but everything that you mentioned, thank you for the very specific.
Yes. Oh, perfect.
Explanations. These are red flags to me. Everything about this is a red flag. Everything. But like, even saying that he looked at places and then lied about that, what was the point? What was the reason? Does he actually not want to live together? Is he just like a man child and can't do anything on his own? And if he's lying about this, like to you, someone that he loves, what's he lying about, like in his everyday life with his work stuff, you know? And then that, again, sets you up, because let's say he's constantly lying about things at work too, and they find out about it and he gets fired, then you don't have half the income for your apartment. This is just not somebody I would want to spend my life with, somebody that's constantly lying, somebody that can't get an apartment for themselves, somebody that just isn't, they're just not pulling their weight. I know you love them, but that doesn't mean you have to be with somebody that you love. And I'm not saying break up, but he needs to go to therapy, because he needs to get to the root of why he feels like he has to lie about everything.
Well, and I would only consider one of these a lie. The other two I would consider crossing your boundaries. Like, you set a boundary of like, you're not comfortable about him having a relationship with, like having a friendship with this person who like they'd slept together. And if he wasn't okay with that, that would have been his boundary. But like lying, that
it's lying and a boundary.
That's what I mean. But like, but then afterwards, I'm like, that wasn't, if that, he accepted your boundary and then lied about it. And to me, that's a boundary crossing. The smoking thing, another thing, boundary crossing. That's not lying. That's like levels and levels and levels above all of this. I would also note, like, what's his relationship like with his mom? Because if, is he expecting you to kind of come in and take the mommy reins in all of this? But then also, if someone will lie to you, they will most likely lie about you.
Yes.
And that's another part that like, you don't necessarily know how he talks about you to some other people. And it's just a lack of being able to take accountability. And in this, he's blaming his relationship with his mom for his reason why he couldn't do all of this. But when you tie yourself to a person like this, you can, you can then become the scapegoat of, oh, I can't do this because my girlfriend said, like, blah, 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 whatever it is. And like, I just don't think that in the long term or in the big picture, like Melissa said, like, love's not enough. Like, it's not enough to be in a healthy relationship and partners, but more than that, to cohabitate and be in a legal agreement together.
And then it's also like, you've been together a year and 9 months and you don't trust him. You don't trust him because you were snooping in his email. Not snooping, you were just...
No, you were demanding
out,
to see it.
Yes, you were figuring out information. So when you see the emails, like, if you don't trust him, I'm sure, like, this early in... I mean, you've been together a good amount of time, especially at the ages that y'all are at. But, like, this just isn't someone that you should be building a foundation with when there's no foundation because there's so many cracks because it's not solid to begin with.
Yeah, it's... And if you want to stay, you just have to, like, accept and know that, like, it's going to get a hell of a lot worse before and if it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's never going to get better with just you. It has the potential of getting better if he actually goes to therapy. And then I would also probably want to do couples therapy because you don't really trust him to be honest with you, and you can bring that up. And so, like, it's going to be a lot of time, money, energy, and work, and you can't want it for both of you. He has to also want it and want to put, not the relationship, but like, want to heal this and want to fix this. And so I think it's easy for me to just be like, break up, like, get out of this lease. And like, logistically, if you can get out of this lease, I do think it would be in your best interest. That, and I also think if you do want to salvage this relationship, I think it's going to be easier to do that if you're not within a financial legal agreement with him, because that's going to, it just ties you to him, and it really puts this situation in the incinerator. Like, it really hypes up and the stakes are a lot higher, and it's a lot harder to fix things when the stakes are that high. And so if this is something you want to commit to trying to fix for the next however many years, but just knowing that, like, there's no sure thing, it might not ever fix and it might get a lot worse. And you need to know yourself and to know where you're at to see, like, okay, can I handle that? And like, if this isn't the perfect outcome and situation that I want, am I willing to accept less? Like, what am I willing to accept? And right now, this to me is like all glaring, glaring red flags that, like, the only way that you can work through this and move past this is if he is not only an active participant, but he is the one, like, leading this change, because it's him. It's not you. And people can change, and I fully believe that, but I just don't know that he's ready or willing to accept that he needs to change. And I don't think that there's nothing you can say or can do that can make him realize that. He has to realize that on his own time. And what timeline are you okay with? So maybe set a timeline for yourself. If you can't get out of this lease, set a timeline for yourself that it's like, I'm not going to push him. He knows how I feel about this relationship. And it's like, this, something needs to change. And I'm not going to feel comfortable or safe in this relationship until then. And like, yeah, it's going to fucking change our day-to-day interactions living together. And I'm not going to push it. I'm not going to do any of that. Like, he has to take his own initiative. And if it's not within a year, I'm going to be done. And I'm going to take myself off the lease or whatever. But you can't handhold him through it. He has to open the door. He has to be the one propelling all of this.
Yeah.
And he's not. And that really sucks. And I feel for you. And on paper, if you didn't give us the examples, this to me is also indicative of a bigger issue of someone crossing your boundaries. And also, when someone's lying, the truth that you find out, you don't know that that's the whole truth either. Like, this is the truth that you could stomach telling me when push came to shove, between a rock and a hard place. This might not be the whole full truth. So any man who is like so anti-therapy while being like, yeah, it's my mom's fault, but I'm not going to therapy. I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I want to.
But if you're so self-aware that it's your mom's fault, then you should know that there are solutions. Like,
well, that's what I mean. Like, that's why I don't think that he believes that it.
Yeah.
It's anyone's fault but him.
I just don't believe anything that comes out of his mouth.
Yeah. And that's like no way to like live. That they will.
He's like, oh, I heard mommy issues were a thing. So yeah, banked it. Here it is. I'm using it.
But then also like, well, what would his, it's just very antiquated, like gendered role, like of like, oh, so like daddy issues go to therapy, mommy issues. Like, I just heard about that on Reddit and like, there's no, nothing working mm-hmm. through that. And it's like, what? So yeah, I would really rephrase these as white lies to boundary crossing. And I would guess that he was the one who called them white lies.
Yeah. I feel like there are things that you need to find.
Yeah, I do agree. You've got our full permission to snoop. Phone, email, Postmates, mm-hmm.
Venmo,
Snapchat.
Venmo gets a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Visco.
TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Foursquare. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really sorry that you're going through this. And this is a lot. And I would also encourage you to go to therapy if you're not therapy.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Okay. Next call.
Woohoo.
Hey, Megan and Melissa. I'm 21 years old, she, her, and I recently got out of a 5-year on and off relationship which started in high school. He was my first boyfriend and first everything. I'm starting to put myself back out there and get on dating apps again, and I wanted to call in and ask for advice about casual hookups. Right now, my future is kind of unknown. I'm graduating university this spring, and I'm waiting to hear if I'll get into grad school, so I'm not really in the place to get into something serious, because I don't even know which city I'll be living in later this year. I've had a few casual hookups when me and my ex were on breaks, and one since we've broken up permanently recently. However, I have never had a good casual hookup, not even an okay hookup. I have masturbated and finished with myself and had great sex and finished with my ex, but casual hookups have never felt good or been enjoyable for me. I'm a shy person, so I don't know if it's me being too nervous in the moment to really get into it or what. But I wanted to ask for your advice about how to feel more comfortable with casually hooking up with people, or if there's ways to make sure that they are more enjoyable. I don't think I'm the type of person who needs an emotional connection with someone to enjoy sex, because I don't feel emotional attachments to the guys that I have wanted to casually hook up with. But maybe I do. I have no idea. But any advice is appreciated. I love the podcast so much, and I look forward to listening every week.
I love your voice.
Yeah, it's very calming.
No, like, I don't even like ASMR, but, like, you could read me the dictionary. And, like, that was, like, a weighted blanket. Like, that was, like, your tone of everything, so soothing.
Mm-hmm. I think you just had bad casual sex, and that's why you're apprehensive about it. If that's, some people just aren't wired, like they don't want to have casual sex, but you seem open to it and it just hasn't been good. I think with casual sex, I think a lot of times when people have sex for the first time with anybody, it's kind of performative. Like, you're showing and doing things that you think the other person wants or wants to see or wants to hear, but it's not necessarily things that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. And so you have to go into it knowing that you're there also for your pleasure. It's not a show. And so you might be a little apprehensive. If you want to have casual sex, you can still have casual sex with friends or people that you're comfortable with, mm-hmm. if that's going to be better for you. So, you know, maybe like knowing the person a little bit before you actually have sex with them, you need them both together. Go into it seeking your pleasure. You know, you said that you've masturbated with an ex. So if that's something that excites you, then do that. Don't like think of this when you have casual sex. You got to think about it like the fifth time you're having sex with somebody you're in a relationship with, when you're a little bit more comfortable, you know the person's body, but because you don't actually know their body, you got to kind of take mm-hmm. your time, figure out what they like, but also keep in mind what you like and be vocal about it. Don't fake it. Don't say that feels good when it doesn't actually feel, you could not feel anything. You have to say and show them what you like, because it's casual. You're not building an emotional bond. Emotional bond does take sex to another level, mm-hmm. but that's not what you want. So you have to think about the other things that bring you enjoyment.
Yeah. And I think like you mentioned that you're like, I don't think it's there. I need to have an emotional attachment, because there are people who like I want to have sex with who I don't have an emotional attachment with. the people you've had casual sex with before, I would like look back and do an inventory of like, why did I have sex? Like, mm-hmm. were, if I saw them walking down the street, like, did I think they were really attractive? Did I think they were, this is going to sound really bad, but like, did I think they were really funny? Did they have great personalities? But like, I'm not trying to get to know them or mm-hmm. whatever. And then suddenly like, oh, when push came to shove, like, I think I like you as a person, but I'm not in it, not in a sexual way. And now we're having sex. So like, what was the driving factor of those people that you did have casual sex with before? Because I think a huge part of enjoying sex is not just sex. It's like the lead up to that. And even when it's just a casual hookup, that's, you know, you're dancing at a bar together. Like there is like that kind of chemistry there. And I'm someone where like, I don't need to really know you. Like, I'm like, I need to find you hot, but you can't talk too much because then I'm going to feel like, well, now I fucking need to know because now you've got a neutral personality, but now I need to categorize you. And mm-hmm. then that will shift it for me. Or I need to like, know you. And so for, I need like, I would be more inclined, like I had like hooked up with friends. And to me, that was a little bit easier. And then having hooking up with someone because I'm like, very rarely am I going to be like immediately really attracted to someone, like want to have sex with them. And like, I've, you know, done without like specifically having, I think I've had a, I don't know, whatever, but like that there's kind of a fine line between I'm thinking about you as a person versus I'm thinking about us as some people who are going to have sex. Yeah. And so like, you kind of have to teeter and figure out where you fall in that. And it is a spectrum. And then when you're like, how are you meeting? How are you meeting these people? How are you meeting up with them? And there should be like a lot of chemistry and sexual tension and build mm-hmm. up to actually enjoying the sex. Like the whole process should be sexy. If you're trying to like a quickie, like smash and go, all of that, that to me, that's a friend, someone you know, friends with benefits. That's like you rip your clothes off real quick, like pound it out and you're out because you already know each other. So I think that like, it's not dating in the casual way, but like there has to be enough time to yeah. build up the arousal of it. And then if you want to get into like the regular smash and go kind of thing, like that's what, that's a fuck buddy. Like that's, yeah. There's a difference between that.
The people that I've had just like casual sex with, they, for me, they've had to be like insanely attractive to me because like, nothing else needs to get me going.
Yeah.
And like, and I can be in relationships with people that aren't like somebody that I don't instantly feel a physical attraction to. But then as I get to know them, then the attraction builds. But that's, you know, those are, you have to figure out where your line is with that.
Yeah. And I'm someone who like, I would not say that I need an emotional connection to have sex with someone, but that's like me talking in big picture. But mm-hmm. if I look back on my dating history and everything like that, yes, I don't need that, but it's far more likely for me that I'm gonna have an emotional connection that feeds along with an attraction, regardless if the emotional connection is romantic or just friendship. Like it's just pretty rare for me to like see, and obviously when I was single, but to like meet someone, think that like they were really hot and then like immediately go and like hook up with them. Like I'm a very talkative person. Like I tend to kind of do all of that. And so even though I wouldn't consider or like tell a partner that like, oh, I need to have an emotional, and I have friends who are demisexual and it's like, you know, a conversation that they'll have where it's like, I don't experience sexual attraction in their specific case. I don't experience sexual attraction until there's a romantic or a friendship, really deep, like a deeper relationship bond. I would not say that I have that at all, but I can also like recognize that like, oh, I don't need to be in a relationship or to be in love with you to have sexual feelings to you, but tend to be more comfortable around my friends or people that I've known for a little bit longer. So I don't think it's as black and white as you need an emotional yeah. connection. Cause I also think that there's something about feeling like safe with the person that you're sleeping with too. And that's not an emotional connection. That's just a feeling of comfort and safety. And we can equate that a lot with friendship and romance, and it doesn't have to be that, but you do have to kind of talk yeah. to someone a little bit long enough or be in a situation where you're safe.
Here, I've known people an hour and I've fucked them, but like but I did have conversations about like,
yeah,
when was the last time that you were tested?
Mm-hmm. And sex gets better with time. Like, there are a few people who I've like made out with and immediately I'm making out with them. I was like, holy shit, I want to have sex mm-hmm. with you. And then there are people who I've been really fucking attracted to. And then we've hooked up, we've had sex, and I've been like, ugh. Like, yeah. So it is kind of just like a trial and error yeah. thing. Like, these are just like sweaty bodies smashing together. And it's not always...
I don't sweat. I glisten.
Oh, nice. I also don't want to say like, you got to put those 10,000 hours in because, you know, sex is something that have as much or as little casual sex or not casual sex as you want, but you need to feel safe and you need to feel comfortable. And if the goal is having good casual sex, it's...
I'd get more into fuck buddy territory then.
Yeah. And... This is so bad. This is like, I would get into fuck buddy territory, but I would specifically ask your friends about the fuck buddies they've had and who's been the best in bed. Like, that's when I'm like, share the little black book. Like, find out who's fucking good. Like, who's great in bed. Like, if you have any friends who've like slept with someone or they know someone is like great.
And you got to make sure that they're okay with.
Oh, without a doubt. But like, I remember like one of my friends and I in high school, we both like slept with like the same guy and she found out didn't tell anyone we hooked up. And she found out and she pulled me in the closet. I was like, oh my God, she's mad. And she goes, we got to talk about it. And I was like, oh, we're just like gal paddling about like having sex with like the same dude. And there are some people who are kind of known for being like a fuck buddies of people in that sense. So, you know, ask her, I would like ask your friends or, you know, how their fuck buddy kind of relationships are. But again, also like first time I've had like sex with fuck buddies, it's like, you know, it's good, but comparing it to having sex in a long-term relationship with someone who like knows how to make you come with like fucking a snap and a blink. It's just going to be different because that wasn't probably the first time with your partner mm-hmm. either. Like it takes a while. Yeah. And
that's what I'm saying with folk buddies. If you build it up and you figure things out and you see what works and what works for the two of you. So like there's time to figure it out.
Yeah. Honestly, I would find a fuck buddy of someone who has been in a long-term monogamous relationship and got out of a if you want someone, because if you think about this, and this doesn't have to be monogamous, but I mean in the sense of someone how your ex just knows exactly how to get you there, you might find comfort with someone who is used to that
Some of the calls that we've had, actually a lot of the calls that we've had where people are like, I've been in this relationship and sex sucks.
You're so
and
right. So I take it all back.
It could be where like they've been in a relationship for so long that they didn't know.
Yeah,
they
weren't 21. Told. Uh-huh. I take all that back. Find someone who's had sex with a lot of people and has a lot of happy customers. Like, I think that...
I mean, at 21, it might be a little hard to find somebody, but I mean, that's been with a lot of people. What's your definition of a lot?
Like, over 30?
At 21, that's a lot. That's like a lot.
I mean...
It's gonna be, you know, yeah. Try it out. See if you like it. If you feel like they can improve with notes, do it again. If you don't, move on.
Yeah. There is something really sexy about, like, a guy who has game, and a lot of the time guys have game because
they got the swagger because, you know, they can talk the game because
they
walk the walk,
seal the deal. Uh-huh. And so that's another, like, this is,
I would go to a bar.
Yeah. So if you're trying to like get laid and have great casual sex, I wouldn't go for like the dorky guy who like turns out to be like, oh, you would have never had guests or whatever. Like, I think you should go for someone who their confidence is really arousing and sexy to you, because that's someone who's going to be forward. And if that's something that is attracted, you have to go for what you're attracted to and what arouses you in the moment, not like the long term.
Some of the best safe sex. Well, some of the best sex, all the sex has been safe. Some of the best.
Well, I was like, it wasn't safe, but it was good.
Some of the best casual sex that I've had has gone from me going to a male gay bar and then the straight guys or bisexual guys that are in that bar. And they're a little bit more confident about who they are. I feel a little bit safer because I know that they feel comfortable around gay men.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, that's where I've met the better of the casual sex partners.
Good casual sex is confident sex. Mm-hmm. And like, you're really confident in your, but you can't be confident enough for two people. Yeah. So like, find a guy who can talk the talk, walk the walk. Find someone who has game. Someone mm-hmm. who has like, swag is not just how someone talks or someone walks. Like the reason why they talk and walk like that, like the definition of what it boils down to is like, you look like you are a good fucker. Like yeah. that's literally what that is. Mm-hmm. Like that's what you're trying. And even if you don't realize it, like, oh, that's what it's like. When someone's like, oh, he's got swag. Like it's literally like, I think you would be great putting mm-hmm. your penis in parts of my body. Like some people might surprise you and be confident and not have the, like exactly what you think that you're like looking for or what your textbook definition of a casual hookup is. But to start, I would go for the people who are the most confident and know that it's trial and error.
Yeah.
And saying exactly like saying what you want, bringing a vibrator in, like, and also with casual sex, like you can be as like weird and as fucking freaky as you want.
Oh yeah.
You can always do that in a relationship, but like, but it's kind of like,
it's kind of like, I might need to ease in it into yeah, it. Cause I'm like, I like them a lot. And you know, I'm not sure if they're into this one thing.
Yeah, but or you might have to backtrack where yeah. you're like, oh, actually not like that anymore. Like I was just trying. I was in a silly, goofy mood.
I like to just casually throw out a few of mine, like in casual conversations as a little jokey joke.
And then they're like,
yeah, I got into it.
Picked up what you dropped up.
Good text conversation.
Hey!
Earlier this week.
I thought you were going to say today. And I was like, that's why you're in a good mood this morning.
That would have been really early.
I know. I was like, damn. So you're like, I've been working getting up earlier. I'm like, you're in a different time zone. Got a sext in a worldwide.
But yeah, worldwide. I was dropping some of this, my things. And then they were picking it up and getting a little excited. And so
it's pretty easy to tell once you start giving it. Mm-hmm. And like, a lot of people, especially when it comes to relationships, like want to give people the benefit of the doubt. And that's totally fine. But if I'm like looking to get my clit licked, like I can't have it be like, ooh, like,
no.
I'm like, okay, no. Like cut the bullshit. Mm-mm. Like we're sexting. Mm-hmm. Like let's, yeah. I need you to match my horny level. Like I'm not playing coy here and batting my fucking eyelashes. Mm-hmm. So like, I need you to stop doing that with yours.
Yep.
So it might be a different type of a guy that you're than normally like you want to date or you're normally attracted to.
Yeah.
You know, it's different. Oh my God, I'm so excited for you. This is so fun. Be safe. Get regularly tested. Make sure your partners are also being regularly tested and not just word of mouth. You guys should be showing each other your results, physical papers.
Have a screenshot on your phone.
Oh, and that's perfect.
Not even a screenshot. I want like the actual document from the doctor. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a break.
Woohoo.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Yamen Spa Styler Hair Tool that we both have. We have their blow dryer, and this is doing something that I've never once seen before on a blow dryer. It's got red light therapy, but the thing that I am the most excited about, because I literally just opened my package, it's got a scalp massager attachment. Like, what? What? Hello, my scalp is so incredibly excited. And as someone who has been a big fan of like Korean and Japanese beauty that I've like very much gone into, specifically skincare, and I've started dabbling into makeup, I just know that like hot tools. Oh, I'm sat. I'm ready and I'm primed, and my scalp cannot wait to be massaged.
I am literally sitting here with it in my hand as we're talking. It's so, first of all, it's well made. Like, it fits great in my hand. It's not too thick. I have tiny hands of a child, and it's not too thick in my hand. And then also the attachment for the massager is just so, like, I'm rubbing it against my hand and it's just so soft and flexible and just invigorating that I'm really excited to get this thing on this scalp.
I'm so excited because I have to say, blow drying your hair is, in diffusing your hair, all those things, it's a time-consuming process. So to be able to be like, let me take a break and treat myself, give myself a little head massage, do a little red light therapy, like, fantastic. Plus, it's lightweight, so your arm's not going to get so tired. Absolutely tired. And yeah, very ergonomic, fantastic.
Yamen is a leading Japanese beauty brand, blends modern technology with traditional beauty rituals to revolutionize the industry. Their U.S. brand portfolio includes Makanai Pure Beauty, MediLift, Mineral Air, and Yamen Tokyo, Japan.
To experience the future of beauty, you can visit yamenusa.com and use code BLAMEME for a 20% discount. That's BLAMEME at yamanusa.com. That's yamenusa.com for 20% off using our code BLAMEME.
And we're back. On to the rest of the calls.
Hello, Melissa and Megan. Okay. So I'm just going to get into it because it's kind of a long story. So everyone in this situation is an 18 or 19-year-old female and uses she, her pronouns. For some background, my hometown friend group since 9th grade includes 12 people, and we are all now freshmen in different colleges, so it's our first time not being in the same school as one another. Now, the other day during break, my friends Sarah, Alyssa, Morgan, and Susan and I all went to dinner to celebrate Rachel's birthday, since everyone else in our friend group had gone back to school. During dinner, we were all reminiscing about our beach trip that took place last summer and have since decided we want to go again this summer. When I brought this up, Rachel said that she would love to go, but she said she didn't want to invite our other friend, Gracie, because last time she felt Gracie was purposely excluding her when we broke off into smaller groups, since half of the time, half of the people wanted to go shopping, while the other half, including me, just wanted to go to the beach. Morgan, Alyssa, and Sarah also piped in saying that they felt Gracie's personality was off-putting, since often at group hangouts, she complains about wanting to leave and doesn't really talk to half of the group, making them feel like she doesn't really like them. Susan, who is my best friend, felt shocked by this because it was the first time she's heard of it. And I was also shocked because while this has been brought up to me before, it's never been brought up to the point where they complain for 20 minutes and talk about details of what she's done. For example, clinging on to one member of the group who wasn't part of the conversation. And they also mentioned that sometimes when she hugs people that she likes, she kind of just glares at the other people in the group, which I've never seen, but they mentioned that. The problem is that Susan and I are pretty close to Gracie and hang out with her as a group of three pretty often. While I've noticed Gracie's annoyance at bigger group hangouts, I've always seen it as her feeling overstimulated by our chaotic group since it is like 12 people in the group. So Susan and I usually want to plan entire group events, including our summer vacation, but after this, we're considering planning it when we know Gracie will be out of town, instead of causing more drama by telling her we just don't, a lot of people don't want her there. But I don't know how that's going to go over with Gracie, because I do know that she kind of really enjoyed the trip. How do you think we should approach this trip and our friendship with her? I don't necessarily want to stop being friends with Gracie, because I know, like, all my friends pretty well. But also, Rachel mentioned that she doesn't really want to be friends with people who are close with someone who makes her feel bad, which isn't really lost on me. Any thoughts on or advice on this would be great. Also, since I still have time, I didn't bring this up at the dinner, but Gracie has told me that she doesn't like Rachel because she finds her annoying, but they've never had a big argument and are pretty cordial to one another at group hangouts, and at one point, I'm pretty sure they used to be friends. So I wasn't really sure how to go about this situation. And I also thought Alyssa and Gracie were pretty close because they do hang out with each other a lot, but I guess not. Any advice on this would be great, and I've been listening to the show for forever, and I would really appreciate hearing from you guys. Thank you so much. Bye.
Forever, you're 18.
Yeah, that's a little alarming. I'm just afraid for what you heard in your youth. But psychologically, I don't know if you know this. You gave someone the name. I mean, I know that you gave someone the name Rachel, which is an automatic assumption of villain. But one of my good friends is named Gracie. So you just have to know I'm going into this. Psychologically, this has been manipulated for me. You have two options.
Can I have a question before? Uh-huh. 12 people is a lot of people to have in a group of friends. Like,
that's a big ass Airbnb.
That's a big ass group. And I'm surprised more than half of people don't hate each other, because
they do.
Yeah, but like, this is just too many people, too many personalities. This is why we say, like, you should not have big friend groups, because everybody is not going to like each other.
No. So my two options, exactly what you're saying, though. One, you wait it out because this will implode, mm-hmm. and it's inevitable. It's only a matter of if and when and what role you partake in it. Or B, you pick a side.
Yeah.
Because
I think it has to be B.
It has to be B. And you can't not pick a side. There are sides being picked. And I'm letting you know right now, everybody who was at that dinner and participated in that conversation, they picked their side.
Yep.
And even if, like, oh, well, I thought this, this, and this. Nope, they picked their side, because there are people who can account for what they said there and then go back and tell Gracie. So even if they decided they wanted to switch sides, they don't have the power to do that anymore once they started talking shit. So if you choose to plan this for when she's not there to avoid talking to her about this, you were at that dinner, you heard what people said, you are implicated in that, you picked a side. Mm-hmm. You invite her and you tell everyone, like, to fuck. Like, I think if you really want to avoid talking about this and, like, bringing it up to her and, like, causing whatever, then you have to be like, no, she's gonna come. And then if shit hits the fan and it's like, well, we didn't even want you here, blah, 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 she's going to find out that you knew that and you brought her into a situation where people didn't want her to be there. So you have been, against your will, implicated in all of this shit. And the only thing that you, the only control and power you have at this moment is what you do with that information. And we have both said, someone being annoying is enough of a reason to not be friends with them. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to be friends with her because you think she's annoying, great. If you look on this situation and think, well, I think that, like, you know, she might not be the best person in groups, but all of you are just shit talking someone else in a group. So are you better in a group than she is? Like,
would you prefer her shit talking you?
Yeah. So anyone who's going to feel comfortable, and this is why big group friend groups of this, like, people can't really form really great close bonds. And if they do, it's not universal between everyone. And so what kind of friend would you rather have? And, like, what friend would you rather have if you were Gracie, because you can be Gracie at any fucking point in time. Mm-hmm. You can be someone who's annoying. You can be whatever. And, like, you recognize that you thought that she maybe was overstimulated, which tells me you either also get overstimulated or you have some sort of knowledge or secondhand experience with that. And it might not be wildly different than what the rest of your friends have. And so it's like, oh, okay. So if I was in a situation like this, and now do I have to second guess all of my actions and how I behave? That's clearly not malicious and very much a me thing. Are they going to take this and then talk shit about me? Like, who's a good friend here? And, like, you also...
And what's your definition of a good friend?
Because you named Susan as your best friend. Mm-hmm. Like, you also don't have to... This isn't like a 50-50 side that you have to pick. It can just be like, you know, I really didn't like how that dinner went down with like, and like, you can let them know, like, I really didn't like how you talked about like Gracie and like, you know, she's like really great. And I'm gonna, I just think that that was like really not nice. And I think that like, you know, makes me second guess how you would talk, how you talk about me when I'm not there. And then you remain friends with Gracie and Susan and maybe Alyssa. I'm only naming the ones that I remember. So like, you don't have to pick a 50-50 side, but by not doing anything, you're picking Rachel's side.
Yeah.
And that's okay if you know that that's what you're doing. But then if you're going to do that, then you should actually do it. And it's much better to let someone know, hey, heads up, they don't want to be friends with you anymore, versus icing someone out slowly over time. Because as someone who has been on the receiving end of the psychological icing out of a friend group kind of thing, that creates a cycle of what the fuck is going on? I'm crazy. So much self-doubt. And that it is, I would always fucking rather someone just be like, I'm done, or ghost me, than like trickling on as friends. And Rachel says that she doesn't want anyone to be friends. She doesn't want to be friends with Gracie anymore and doesn't want anyone who's going to be friends with Gracie. And it doesn't seem like Gracie's feeling like that. And so, like, who's a better person at the end of the day?
Right. Also, and I'm not trying to be mean, but after, this is y'all's freshman year, after your sophomore year, everybody's going to want to do their own thing anyway. And I don't think that everybody's going to still be friends with each other. Everybody's going to make new friends because y'all are all at different schools. So this might be the last trip, to be honest. And I would just like invite everybody. And I would also kind of give Gracie the heads up because she shouldn't be trusting these bitches. And then no. You being there, and let's say one of the other girls is like a defector of the group. You know, she's like, oh, I actually felt bad about what I said. And then goes back to Gracie and tells Gracie everything that happened. And you were there and you get implicated with the rest of them. If you want to be a good friend, I'd give her a heads up. Also, I would have my guard up because I wouldn't trust any of these bitches.
No, I agree in the sense that like, I think everyone needs to go and you need to give Gracie a heads up. Mm-hmm. Like, I've talked shit about people behind their backs and like learned from it and regretted it. And like, my whole thing is, I'm not going to say anything that I wouldn't say to your face. Mm-hmm. And so if you find out and there are people who've like come to me like, oh, I heard you said this. And I'm like, well, yeah, we haven't had an opportunity to talk about it. And like, I'm not going to, at this point in my life, but like, I don't want to equate you to being a teenager, but like to your friends being like, I've talked shit about and it come back and bite me in the ass. And I'm like, wow, I feel bad about that. I'm going to not do that anymore. But like, you can't control the narrative, even if you didn't participate, like you were there and you heard it. So you either go give Gracie a heads up or you don't go.
Mm-hmm. And you and Gracie go on a different trip. Yeah. And Susan and whoever else you actually trust go on a different trip. But like, I would also give the people at the dinner a heads up and be like, hey, I didn't think what y'all did was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel comfortable about this. It made me feel so uncomfortable. I called into a podcast about it.
It's a great podcast. You should listen. Yeah. They're very beautiful.
But like, this just, it didn't sit well with me. And so like, I feel like Gracie needs to know how y'all feel. So like, I'm going to tell her.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, Gracie doesn't like Rachel. Rachel doesn't like Gracie. Like, that's all fine. But you can't weaponize your friend group against and then in like use that to get someone uninvited mm-hmm. or not to plan a trip around when they're going to be there or not. That's just, it's not a good look. And like, you are who you surround yourself with. So like, who do you want to be associated with in these circumstances and situations? And like Melissa said, you might not even be friends with any of them in a year's time. But I think, how do you want to enjoy, not to put a timeline on, but like, how do you want to potentially enjoy like one of the last years of your childhood, your intact childhood friend group? And or how do you want to spend like a huge transitional year from teenage years into adulthood to kind of set the tone for mm-hmm. your young adult relationships and like the kinds of people you allow yourself to be, you choose to surround yourself with? But again, you picked the name Gracie and the name Rachel, so it's inevitable.
And Alyssa's a little too close to my name.
And also Susan, you just picked a random name. And so we are rooting for the underdog. We're I was like,
Grandma?
Susan? Aunt Susan? So, you know, I'm partial to Gracie. I got a Gracie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Next one is a write-in. So we had a special situation. Everybody don't write in. But if you have a special situation where you want to write in, let us know.
Yeah, and explain
the reasons. Yeah. Hi, Eminem plus team. I have a physical disability, a speech impairment, and use a mobility device, and I live in Canada. My pronouns are she, her. I'm 26, and I'm writing in so you can understand my story clearly. I've been living independently for 8 years and would like advice about becoming a sugar baby to support myself financially. In my province, the government assistance and post-secondary aid I receive monthly barely covers my expenses. I would get cut off from welfare if I get a traditional job, and a guy, he, him, messaged me last week offering to be my sugar daddy and will pay me in gifts and cash. The opportunity sounds great, but I have limited dating slash sexual experience as a straight disabled woman and need advice on what to consider before making a decision. We both are up to date with STI testing and COVID-19 vaccinations, so this is reassuring. Food inflation rates are ridiculously high and increasing, plus social welfare supports are oppressive and ableist. Is this an example of an ethical scam? Would love to hear for other listeners how they are coping in this economy. Happy 2023, everyone. Sending gratitude for the advice. Sexy Virgo on wheels.
Like, I love a sexy Virgo. Mm-hmm. I love Virgos. Okay, so disclaimer. I've never been a sugar baby. And
neither have I.
So I think you take what we say with a grain of salt, and like a huge aspect of my advice is going to be like, seek out advice, because it's not even just advice from people who've been in this, but personal experience. And there is kind of just a level of, for someone who's been doing this for years, they can give you kind of an accurate representation of how many people who they reach out to, or how many people reach out to them, and what the percentage of it being legitimate, and like how to know if something, like what are the fail safes and things you can do to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. They're going to know that from personal experience. And like, again, they'll have the actual data and proof of concept of how many times they've done this and all of that.
Yeah. So I will say there's a podcast called the Slutrepreneur podcast, which I would listen to. Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I would say is, do I think it's an ethical scam? Yes. I don't even know if I would call sex work a scam in general, but I think sex work
is ethical.
It can be,
if it's done correctly.
It can be ethical and empowering, mm-hmm, and very valid, and should be not only destigmatized, but like, you know, decriminalized, all of it. Like, I'm big advocate of that. But in this instance, I think the first thing that I would do is I would require money to keep talking to me. Like, there needs to be some money exchanged because sugar babying isn't just money in exchange transactional after sex. It is an ongoing financial relationship that most people people will say that it doesn't involve intimacy, but it does a lot of vast mm-hmm majority of the time. So there needs to be a proof of funds, like as if you're getting a hack. I need to know that you actually have money and you're willing to spend it on the other aspects of sugar babying, where it's like we're texting, we're talking on the phone, like whatever. Like, it's because if it's purely transactional for photos and things like that, to me, I would be like OnlyFans, something where you're not meeting up with someone. Like, if you're trying to treat every sexual interaction as transactional and it's not, you're not willing to give some money ahead to, like, you know, prove that this is something that you want to do, that's the difference between sugar babying. It's taking care of someone financially, however much they have, but if it's purely transactional based on photos, videos, sexual encounters, I think that is something that is more suited for OnlyFans, or someone that you know is safe and also good for the money. Like, because doing that digitally, they have to pay on a mm-hmm platform first. So that's the first thing that I would do. And I would also, like, you didn't say where you met, because like, if it's seeking arrangements, to me, that's much more likely than if someone's just slid into your DMs. And I think that a really unfortunate thing to kind of also recognize is I would also seek out sex workers who are disabled and how they deal with, or it doesn't even have to be people who are disabled. It can be people who of different, they don't even have to be a part of different religious backgrounds, but people who do content that is like specifically catered based on their race, based on their religious identity, and something where it's how you're physically presenting yourself by choice or by not. And people who, like, fat sex workers, sex work, whatever it is, to talk about the safeties, and like trans sex workers, people who talk about the safeties of where the line is between the dangers of the fine or whatever you're comfortable with, the level of fetishization, and then the level of where does that become potentially a red flag. And I can't tell you that. And most people are only going to be able to tell you that within their own community. But I think it's...
And your own feelings towards it too.
Yeah. And I would really like get a lot of information from a lot of different people and then see what, how you feel. And it, there's no way to specifically feel, but to kind of gauge all of that, because that's a really unfortunate part, is that kinks are harmless. Fetishes can be harmless, and they cannot be, and they can lead to unsafe situations if you're specifically meeting up with people in real life. And so I think that's another thing to like factor in what your comfort level is. Like, I guess my only advice is just to do as much research as humanly possible before you get into any situation. And then even when you, if you are meeting up in person, it's going out to dinner first and it's in public and you have a friend who's at the restaurant as well. Like, you have, like, your friends have your app like tracking, and you suss out and gauge if this person feels safe, and also knowing that that person might pass all that with flying colors, but like there is still a risk there, and doing what you can to mitigate the risk long-term and short-term.
Yeah, agree with all that. But even before you get to any of that, I would write down what you're willing and feel comfortable doing. Make a list just for yourself. And then you should also go to him, and y'all should like talk about what you're okay with doing and what he's okay with doing, and like the limitations on what that is as well. Because you don't want to get into a situation where he's expecting something and you're not expecting that, or you're expecting something and that's not what he wants, because then that can set you up for something that's uncomfortable and could potentially be dangerous too.
Yeah. I also wouldn't be really transparent about your financial situation with
him.
Yeah,
no.
Because we've heard so often about how people will use that. And so I think it's a good idea to write down what you're comfortable with and tell him, write it down, and then have him send you his list. Mm-hmm. And then if there's anything on his that you're like, no,
absolutely not,
then it's not even telling him no that you're not going to do that thing. It's just no overall. Because depending on the level of what it is, like if it's something that like it makes you sick to your stomach, yeah, it makes your skin crawl, it makes you feel like there are certain things that are non-negotiable, even if they're willing to like, oh, no, it's okay, fine. There are certain things that like if that you're not going to be able, that's unsafe.
I meant like things like if and I'm going to make it very simple, if like he wants his nipple pinched and aren't into that, and you say, I'm not into that, and he's like, okay, that's fine with me.
Yeah. But
if it's something like that's so grotesque that like to you, because I'm not going to kink shame anybody, but it's so like grotesque, or it's just something you don't feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And it's like so over the top that you're like, I couldn't see myself with being with anyone that's into this thing. Then that's a no. But if it's something small, then like it's a business deal. It's a negotiation at first.
Yeah. It's just about knowing that you're going to have to kind of hyper read into a lot of things, and because your safety is on the line. Mm-hmm. And so that's the part that it's like, I would get multiple eyes on it. Like I would be like, show it to a friend. I would, if there's any sort of shame or things that you feel like you need to hide in this, I would work through that first, because in order to set up the most safe option, which is never going to be 100% safe, you can't be the only one who knows who you're seeing and where you're going. Mm-hmm. And so until you can feel comfortable sharing it with people who are able to be at your aid in your city quickly, if something were to go wrong, and who are looking out for you constantly, it's just not the time yet. And it's building up to that. But it's a really hard thing to be dealing with, like, you know, the economy and a recession, and it's even harder to be disabled and have a cap on the income mm-hmm. that you can make. There are so few options. And so I don't think that this is something that you should rule out. I think regardless of your, if you're disabled or not disabled, or if you're wealthy or not, like I think anyone can do sex work who wants to do sex work. Right. But I think if you feel like this is your only option, I would maybe put feelers out for some other organizations or groups of ways to make extra income from home, make extra income with cash, make extra income in whatever it is in that way. So you're able to make ends meet, and any money you made from this would be additional, not something you need. Because when we get to that crossroads of financial distress and need-based, like what you need in this, you might end up in situations that you're not comfortable with and you don't feel safe in. There's great like TikToks and Instagrams of people talking about, I don't know what your food preferences are or if you have dietary restrictions, but there are lots of ones of like people who are doing quote unquote recession core meals and like learning how to save money on food and things like that. And so there are certain things that I've been following, and we're obviously in very different situations, but just learning different ways to kind of like save money, to allocate money for mm-hmm. other things. And in our young adult lives or whatever, this is like our first economic downturn as a world. I know that there's something that brings people together, as opposed to like when you're financially facing individual financial hardship. Right now, everyone is. So there are so many articles, there's resources online, people doing all these recipes and all of this kind of stuff. And I think you asking the question about like, how are other people getting through that? Like, if you're part of our Facebook group, if you're not, message us, we'll kick you to the front of the line. But I think it'd be great for people to respond in on how they're doing that, on whether it's how they're making side money or how they're saving mm-hmm. money.
All right. Well, now it's time for another break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
We're back, and it is time for Don't Blame Them, where a listener calls in and gives their own advice pertaining to a call that they heard on a previous episode. I almost said a previous podcast, like just a different, they're just calling to tell us about Dax Shepard's podcast. Anyways, maybe they have personal experience, maybe they are a professional in the field that we talked about, or just maybe they're impassioned and they love the sound of their own voice, which is a relatable thing to me.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I'm calling for a Don't Blame Them for the episode titled Trainer Set Me Up with His Brother-in-Law. This is for the caller who's in a science-y field who's having trouble finding a job. I've been working in engineering for a long time now. I've mentored college students how to get a job. I've worked with recruiters. I'll leave my email with Megan and Melissa if you would like to contact me, but definitely get your LinkedIn profile up to date. I would say to apply for a job at a company and then find a recruiter from that company, message them and say specifically, hey, I applied for this job. This is the rec number. I'd really like to talk to you about it. Apply for jobs that you're not qualified for. Men are likely to apply for a job when they only meet about 30% of the requirements, where women feel like they have to meet 100% of the requirements. Let's say you work in physics. Apply for a chemistry job, a biology job, an engineering job, an astronomy job. Apply for any job. I'd also recommend applying for a company that's pretty big, maybe 1,000 people or more. That way, maybe the job you start out with isn't the job you want, but you can get your way into the job that you want. Also to note, when you do eventually get a job offer, negotiate your salary, negotiate your time off, negotiate your sign-on bonus. They do relocation, negotiate that. Women are also far likely to negotiate at all. Go get your bag and email me if you'd like. Have a good day. Bye.
See, if we had money, we could send money to this person.
I fucking love this community.
Yeah.
That's so kind and so helpful. And my fucking TikTok was listening to me after that. And I got got fed this on my For You page, this TikTok of this woman who works in HR in her company. And she was talking about how everyone who's looking for a job should download LinkedIn on their phone. And she was like, you can send a message at any point in time. She goes, you let me know and like DM the head of the company. She's like, I'm the head of the fucking department. No, she wasn't HR. She was the head of the department of whatever. And she goes, the amount of times people will message me and be like, I see you work here. This is why I'd be a great fit for this. And she was like, it's so ballsy to send. She's like, send our fucking CEO a LinkedIn. Like, do you know how ballsy that, how many people have gotten that? Because like they've put themselves out there. And if you don't, like no one thinking less of, like you're just not qualified for the job, but you never fucking know.
The person that runs the social media for my business account listen to this podcast. It's like a podcast listener. She just sent me a message and was like, do you have any internships? And then, I mean, she's out of school now, but she's continuing to do it. So like, and I just want to say, I only do paid internships. So, but like, I've had people like message me, and I've hired people that just send me a message if it's a good message.
Exactly. And that's like what this TikTok, this woman was saying. And she was like, if you have the confidence to message a head of a department on a Saturday night, she goes, I'm gonna see that. And she's like, I get a notification on my phone. Most of us all have our LinkedIn notifications turned on our phone. She goes, respond to it at like 2 a.m. and I'm going to like direct to the best person, and then I'm gonna follow up with that person to see if they reached out to you. Mm-hmm. Like, so everybody wants to help everyone else. It's just a matter of like letting people do that and giving the opportunity to do so. And I had no idea that, I mean, it makes total sense to me that like women, like men will apply for jobs that they mm-hmm. meet 30% of the requirements for, and women wait for 100%.
Because a lot of people aren't even 100% qualified for jobs. What jobs are posting is their ideal candidate. It usually says this, our ideal candidate will have these qualifications. It doesn't say, and then like the actual required qualifications, maybe like 3 bullet points.
Yeah.
And the idea might be like 15 bullet points. And if you hit 2 of them, you're good. It gets you in the door.
Yeah. Well, they're building their dream, mm-hmm. not real person. They're right. building false idea. Like it might not even exist in anyone.
But. Yeah. Somebody send us a message in our DMs. That said, I inspired them.
That's so nice. You want to read it out loud?
I do. They said, oh my gosh, I have hated networking because it makes me feel so icky, stupid, ick. It just makes me feel thirsty and awkward and insecure. But hearing Melissa's networking story on today's Don't Blame Me was inspiring, and I was hyped for you. So awesome. Of course it's you. With clapping hand emojis. I definitely need to work on feeling like I deserve the positions I really want and go after them, but by whatever means necessary. Thank you. I just want to give a little update to that. I think, I don't know which podcast, which I kind of talked about it, but I did have, you know, a follow-up meeting with someone who has actually moved up in the place where would be my dream job. And we had a good meeting this weekend. We went out to coffee for 2.5 hours and we're just talking. She was asking me what my goals are, how I envision making that specific job better. Yeah. So it's like you have to foster relationships, because I know if something comes up,
yeah,
she's going to call me.
And good networking, that icky kind of thirsty feeling, that it's kind of like making friends or reaching out to like anyone, mm-hmm. calling to make a doctor's appointment. Like there's that, but like when you're networking with the right people, it doesn't continue to feel like that. Mm-hmm. You foster a relationship. Like
we were hanging out.
If you're not feeling that, then it's like, okay, let's time and move and pivot, because mm-hmm. it should be two people who have the same goals, same interests, and also like respect how the other person works and will then vouch mm-hmm. for you and then want to kind of set you up because they want to make their life easier or their job easier, or they want the person that they recommend you to like think highly of them. Like it's a symbiotic, really mutually beneficial relationship. If you're not vibing, mm-hmm. it won't be mutually beneficial. And so like cut the cord, move on.
Yeah.
You know, trim the dead weight. Mm-hmm. Like,
and I've had networking experiences that have gone wrong. I've had some woman that I was vibing with forever, and then she just like stopped talking to me, and I have no clue why. Absolutely no clue why.
Yeah.
And it's like, whatever. That just means that I wasn't meant to work with her.
Yeah, the vast majority of what like auditioning is essentially networking, where you meet casting directors or you meet producers, you meet heads of talent at like studios or whatever. And then they think about you mm-hmm. for other things and they reference back to you and they bring you in and they do all of that stuff. And it's prevalent in every space. It's a long burn. And sometimes it can feel like they're not coming to fruition and there's no benefit to them. But again, like a good networking in a good way will also be kind of like it's camaraderie as well, or it can be mentorship. Like it's fostering a long-term relationship and people want that.
Yeah. I mean, everybody that works at my company is people that I've worked with before, or we came out the same womb. But
Melissa and I came out the same womb.
I mean, the people that are on the payroll for my company. Yeah.
I'm not on the payroll for her company.
But yeah, it's about fostering relationships. It's like when I had something come up, I'd be like, oh, I worked well with this person elsewhere, or, you know, I know that they can do a good job. And I just like ask them if they want to come work, and they do.
And it makes your job easier mm-hmm. too, because you can also count on those people. So it might feel like networking is thirsty, but like it's just as beneficial for the other party.
Yep. All right. Well, good luck. Job market is hard and annoying and aggravating.
Yeah.
But when you build good relationships with good people, it makes things easier.
Without a doubt.
All right.
That's it. We hope you all enjoyed the episode. If you did, leave us a review on the podcast app, or if you're on Spotify and you listen, 5 stars. And go leave a comment on our last Instagram post letting us know what's like the weirdest, most interesting, coolest, or lamest, most exciting, most boring job you've ever had.
Yeah. Oh, next week we'll have a special guest. So if you want advice by a special guest, a famous special guest.
I thought you said fangless.
Oh, special guest, a friend.
Do you not get my joke?
I do now. After you said okay. You get my joke.
Do you
joke.
Want to keep it in so the people yes. can pick up the Easter egg?
Yes, a famous guess. Then write in and she'll answer.
Yeah. Burn it. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Don't Blame Me is a production by me. Executive produced by Melissa DeMonts and Diamond Imprint Productions. Edited by Coco Lawrence. Post-production sound by Chris Henry. Production assistance by Melanie D. Watson. Music by Ryan Hunter and Giacomo Picasso.